On this week's episode of Marketing O'Clock,
we're upvoting the new Reddit AI keyword tool. Microsoft Ads has some updates. If you're into process improvement, you're going to care about this. Period.
PMax now contains new URL rules for better targeting.
All on today's show.
Welcome, you are listening to Marketing O'Clock. Just stay tuned. Digital marketing news, but let's get specific. Digital ads, SEO and analytics, social media and more. Pretty much everything that'll make your website perform. With new shows every Friday. We give you the news with sass and puns and definitely hot takes. Thank you for tuning in. You know what time it is. It's officially Marketing O'Clock. Settle in, sit back, keep it locked.
Hey there, I'm Greg Finn.
I'm Jess Budd.
I'm Nicole Waddington.
And it is officially Marketing O'Clock.
Here on September 8th, 2023. What is happening? Welcome back. Jess, what's going on in your life?
Not too much, but you guys know that my proudest moments with my son are usually when I question my parenting the most. Had another one of those yesterday.
Happens a lot, yeah.
Happens a lot. I was super proud. My son has been digging hot sauce. We give him like a 2 on the 10 scale. It's like Melinda's pizza sauce. It's not that spicy, but he loves it, right? So he's dipping his food in it at dinner last night. I'm like, what do you think of that? And he goes, I kid you not. This is an exact quote. It's delicious. Give me hellfire and pain. And I was like, you dip that food, child. You dip it. I don't know where he heard this from. I think it might be the hellfire sauce that we stock in the house that my dad was talking about when he was over for dinner. But I didn't think Jack was listening. And I was just so proud. Like, yet that is what this hot sauce is supposed to do for you. And also just a good philosophy on life. So very proud.
Yeah. He's like a chip off the old block.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And for me, I went to a concert last Friday and it was like a folk person. I'm like, oh, nobody likes like folk people. Like this will be like a chill concert, right? I didn't know the appeal of folk people.
Yeah.
So the guy's name, I'm going to mess it up, but it's like Noah Kagan or something like
Kahan.
I just think of John Kagan when I see that name. And so it was in Syracuse. It was the same time as a fair. It was the world's worst commute and like driving in. There were 18,000 people.
I saw TikToks about people like getting out of their cars and running to try to make the concert.
I
they
was
parked so far. There was a line, right?
It was insanity. And the craziest thing was I was probably 20 years older than the median age of these people. When did people start liking folk music?
It's good. All the time. Yeah. That's what I listen to. Like sad, like singer-songwriter
sad
folk.
Roasty yeah. stuff.
Kids,
yeah.
though? That's what kids do now? I thought it was like for adults.
No. He's cool.
And then everybody's just wearing flannels, but they weren't like Nirvana flannels. They looked like something you like purchased to like look old. I don't think any of the flannels anyone was wearing were old. I think they were like, I don't know, but I felt so old at this thing. And then I just felt even older because he's playing some slow jam and, you know, obviously there's no lighters anymore. So everybody's just waving their phones up. And I'm like, this kind of looks cool, but this also sucks.
No, I want folk lighters. Music should have lighters. That's
I want
not fair.
Fire. Yeah. I don't want to see your phone. And then people's like, yeah, whatever.
You know, they give out like flip-flops at weddings. They should give out lighters at concerts. Just have a basket. Mm-hmm. You walk in, you grab one.
Yeah, there were 18,000 people. It was crazy for this folk person who was born on TikTok or something like that, I guess.
Born on TikTok.
But it was funny. He's like doing this. He's like, this is like a lot of people. I'm like, yeah. Well, who knew? Mm-hmm. Who knew? So, but it was a good concert. I don't know if everybody saw it coming, but I know one person that saw this coming, myself. Here. And that's going to be a theme of the show, but Google Search Generative Experience is officially rolling out links to web pages within Answers. It's going to launch in the US first. Google will still test the way that it shows. We had talked about it before where there was sort of like a quotation mark that you could click on. It would drop down a sort of like an upside down caret that would drop down and then links like directly within the text. It seems that they're choosing to start with that upside down caret. I don't like that. And I think this will change too, all right? You heard it here first. I think that they're going to go with the text that you can click on. This experience, if you get it, and I've had it and played around with it, it's still really clunky because there'll be multiple different carrots that you have to click down in like one paragraph. And what it does, it sort of breaks it up and you've got like a little website card. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make like, it would be better if you could just click on save a click, essentially. Mm-hmm. But maybe they want to do this to keep people on Google. I see it from their side of things. Either way, this is a huge win for anybody that owns a website, anybody doing any type of marketing. Instead of having to go into the upper right corner to find all the different links, you will be able to get there directly within the SGE experience in the text. So before, it was confusing. It was annoying. I like SGE. I like the results that it brings because it's a lot more, I would say, helpful from a like what do people think side of things, where the normal SERPs are much more, you know, transactional, especially for e-commerce searches. You'll you know, like you're searching for like ladders or something, and you'll get the most of the time in the SERPs, you'll see Lowe's ladder category, Home Depot ladder category, you know, Walmart or something like that. But you'll find like the 11 best ladders and things like that.
More like research based.
Yeah, content. I think it's a good juxtaposition to be like, we've got these normal things, and then we've got like almost like the perspectives. There's a lot more perspective flair to SGE from everything I've seen and tested than the traditional SERPs. I generally never see the normal SERPs show up in SGE, which I don't know, I guess what that says about Google in general, but it's cool. And then being able to just jump right in when you see some sort of context in SGE, I think it's going to be helpful. And there was no way they were going to launch this without links and in the text rather. And it's here. And I think that is a good test. According to the senior director of product management at Google, they said, starting today, when you see an arrow icon next to information and AI-powered overview, you can click to see relevant web pages and easily learn more by visiting the sites. It's launching first in the U.S. and will roll out to Japan and India over the coming weeks. And then they went on to say they are continuing to test different ways of presenting the results, listening to feedback, and all that. It seems like searchers are having a positive experience, according to Google. And then also they say 18 to 24 year olds enjoy the SGE experience the most.
It's just because old people are afraid of it.
Yeah, and I think it's because there's like takes in there, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think part of it is the content, and like people want to, like we're in this society now where what people think about stuff matters so much, and like 18 to 24 year olds, like that's what they want to see. And then in the least shocking news ever, Google says people are finding ads also helpful, and specifically that they're placed above or below the AI-powered overview.
Emphasis on above.
So cool. Well, yeah. Links in SGE, love to see it.
And Reddit is launching a new keyword research tool in the Reddit ad manager. So this will use machine learning to generate relevant keywords and rank each word by the monthly Reddit views. And in the announcement, they have a screenshot of what it looks like. It kind of looks similar to like a mix of Meta, where it gives you the estimates on the right hand side, and it supposedly analyzes the context of each keyword to ensure that your ads will only show in brand safe and suitable environments. But not much detail there, but still a cool tool if you are using Reddit ads.
Cease and desist on the cool tool. All right, next up, it is that time of the month again, not for me personally, but for a rundown of the recent Microsoft Ads update. The biggest update here is to Ads Editor, which now supports audiences across all markets. You'll still need to create and manage those audiences in the online interface, but Microsoft does say that you'll be able to use the editor for bulk associations for remarketing, in-market audiences, dynamic remarketing lists, similar audiences, customer match, custom audiences, and custom combination lists. Love to see that. People like working in editor, so that's great. For extra bonus points on the audience front, in-market audiences are also now available across all markets. So in-market in all the markets. Love to see it. A couple other quick updates that they shared. Auto-generated assets for responsive search ads are now fully available. This is good news for people that trust the machine. The announcement notes that when you enable this feature in campaign settings, you'll start serving assets that are automatically generated in addition to the ones you've provided. Of course, they have stats on how this is increasing click share and click-through rate, but take that with a grain of salt. You can also now use RSA assets to create multimedia ads. You just edit a particular RSA that you want to use the SS from, and then there's an option to copy responsive search ads to multimedia ads, and it pulls those assets in. I actually love that. It's a nice way to save time if you're trying to build those out. You can also now add your logo to your ads with logo extensions at the account, campaign, and ad group levels. And finally, you can use new customer data platform integrations from both HighTouch and Zapier to set up and manage customer match on Microsoft advertising. So there's really nothing super groundbreaking here, but a lot of improvements in the way of efficiency. So love to see all that.
All right. And over on LinkedIn, Thomas Excel has some Thomas Excellent news about PMax, where apparently you're going to be able to add a contains feature, or basically URL rules, to your PMax. We had talked about this before when it was announced that DSAs would be upgraded. And I had a lot of concerns and questions about that, because the way that PMax, when it launched, you could either go to a final URL, or you could sort of go expansion or URL expansion and go across your entire site. And you could also exclude things, but it wasn't sort of like add these different pages or different URLs. It was from an exclusionary standpoint, which was the opposite of the way that DSAs work. DSAs, you would give a list and it would be additive. So this is just another improvement. And I would say this is a major improvement for many folks, especially if you're in the e-commerce business or if you have a fantastic site structure. We also talked about a few weeks back where there were feeds added to PMax. We are using feeds currently, seeing great results. And this is the ability. Let's say we are talking about ladders, like I mentioned before. You can now make a PMax campaign instead of expanding your final URL expansion and then removing everything but ladders. You can now say, well, if your URL slug or your taxonomy has a ladders in a subdirectory or folder, you can now target that specifically, which is pretty awesome.
Makes good sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, and I know I have on my laptop here a PMin sticker here, but we are using a lot of PMax and it's working great. We're again doing feeds. It's working better than expected so far. And I am very, very, very happy anytime they give us more control to help this thing do what we want it to do. And this is a huge step up to being able to just target a specific section of your site if you've got nice, clean URLs.
Now it's time for this week's Take of the Week. This is a hashtag fire digital marketing take with extra spice served up for you. We simply deliver the take for your consumption. We give no opinions. We don't influence. You make the call.
This week's Take of the Week comes from Joe at the Joe Schmo on X. And that is S-H-M-O-W. I spell Schmo. And Joe found a close variant in his Google Ads account. He was using a phrase match keyword for criminal lawyers. And the match that Google found was hip hop lawyer. Hip hop lawyer. I don't know what that said. So the take of the week is actually Google Ads.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's a big yikes.
That's a huge yikes.
Maybe because it's just like criminally great music.
That's the nicest spin I've heard on this.
Thanks, hey, I work in marketing.
Hang on, sorry. Yeah. I have a quick call here. Oh, yeah, it's Google's PR team. Oh, it's for you, Jess. We've got a job offer. So
just trying to help.
Google matched criminal to hip hop. And, of course, there's some comments on there. The first comment was Darcy Burke, who said, please, please, please cover this on the show, Greg Finn and Marketing O'Clock. And then Samara Hart said, we seriously need to pool a collection of these idiotic intent matches in one place for advertisers to see just how bad it really is. Those of us in the trenches are out here playing endless whack-a-mole.
And not the kind where you get tickets that you can buy a fun stuffed animal with.
No, all
this
you get is
insane.
All dishes out is pain.
Pain.
It's
oh, my
son
would love it.
Yeah, it's and then Anthony Higman said, "Boah, that's hilarious." The labeler. So hip hop equals criminal now, according to Google. Boah, Google, your human labelers who are Wizard of Ozing your AI aren't doing it right. But yeah, it's and then we're just in an account and the sheer number of queries you could actually see anymore. It was staggering. We the campaign had spent about, or the specific keywords we were looking at, it spent about $2,700 in a certain time frame, and we could only see $200 worth of spend from that, queries.
That's criminal.
That's hip hop.
Now it's time for this week's ICYMI. ICYMI, people, this is something you just might not have seen. Maybe something that you overlooked, but you shouldn't have.
This week's ICYMI comes from Gil Gildner at Gil Gildner on X. He posted, having issues with GA4 conversion data suddenly disappearing, we recently found out that activating Google Signals and location data in GA4 can disable some conversion events. We assume that since this client is a bank, Google may have some additional privacy policies for gathering certain granular data. So if you're having otherwise confusing tracking problems, try toggling off signals and location data. And then he has screenshots of what he was seeing in his GA4 account and the setting where you would turn this off.
Now it's time for this week's
pew pew
lightning round. At this point in the show, we split up our content into three parts: paid, organic, and social.
First up in the paid universe this week, Google announced last Thursday that they are releasing a new policy called limited ad serving to try to reduce scam and prevent confusing or misleading ads. So I'm summarizing the Google announcement here. This means that it will limit the impressions of ads that have, quote, a higher potential of causing abuse or a poor experience for our users, unless you are a qualified advertiser. And
in which case, abuse.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out and say, if you, the definition of a qualified advertiser is anyone listening right now.
Oh, for sure. Good marketers.
Yes, I'm knighting you right now. You are a qualified advertiser if you're hearing this in your ear holes right now.
Can we talk about knighting for a second?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like every time someone gets knighted in a film, I want it to be like a ruse and they get decapitated, and I've never seen this.
That would be like the ultimate.
Right?
The ultimate like betrayal. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, for all of you qualified advertisers out there, that means you have account attributes, user activity and reports, account maturity, ad format usage, history of policy compliance, advertiser industry, or identity verification status.
Oh, that's the real definition?
Yeah, that's the real definition. Not our listeners. That means that you're a qualified advertiser, and this policy will not impact your ad, supposedly. So Google said, while an advertiser is building trust with Google and our users to become qualified, their ad impressions may be limited in scenarios described below. Ads will not be disapproved as a result of this policy. We will automatically review and update advertisers' ad serving limits as we continue to monitor your accounts. Last line here. Unfortunately, we can't say how long this might take.
Years?
Yeah.
So what will this impact then if you're not a qualified advertiser?
So unqualified advertisers may have less impressions serving on their ads until Google reviews their ads and you build up this, quote, trust. And you'll receive an in-account notification if you are in this group of advertisers that are unqualified. So you might see individual ads that are approved. You might see individual ads that are serving less and getting less impressions in your account. And it also had a section in this announcement for the fact that all branded and generic ads for an advertiser with unclear brand relationship and generic ads may also be impacted by this limited ad policy. So examples of this is referring to another brand's name or likeness. So if you're an airline or a customer service department and you're bidding on a brand name, you might get impacted. If you're referencing a name or brand closely resembling another brand in response to a user's general search of an industry, or situations where the user has reason to believe they are interacting with another brand, or use of a brand logo by an unaffiliated advertiser. So
I like that aspect of it, where if you're newer, you can't just go out and try to buy somebody's, right, you know, brand name and cause them to work more to stop you. Mm-hmm. But I don't get some of the other stuff. It's like you're going to be limited because you're new. Like, how does that – I don't get that part
of it. The history part kind of isn't fair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. And it's not really clear. Like, again, they said, we don't know how long this may take. So –
Didn't you build it? Didn't you make this?
Yeah. If you're launching a new campaign, especially if it's a branded campaign or you're using language that has vernacular in it, that might be somebody else's brand name. That's something to be aware of.
And that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But if not, like I could just see other people being, oh, there's a new advertiser here. Let's just go use that user feedback lever to try to kick them into this limited serving. Oh, you know what I mean?
No.
That's what bad.
PCs are about to become the SEOs. No.
That's what evil people do. Not any of our listeners.
Black Hat PPC.
All right. Next up in the news, Anthony Higman at Anthony Higman on X posted, instead of the QR code on desktop, Google is now just showing, quote, get phone number drop down that shows the number. And he has a screenshot of one of his ads or an ad. And there's a card that has the giant phone number down at the bottom below the ad.
I like that. I don't want to have to take a picture or pull my camera out to just make a call.
I know.
I think that's nice.
I love pulling my camera out to take a picture of what's on my monitor.
QR codes are so annoying.
Do you know the feedback we got about the CAPTCHA game?
Did we get feedback? I don't check anything.
People were calling for your head. They were saying Knight Jess Bond.
Oh, good. I would love to be Sir Lancelot or whatever.
All right. And Paul Rooney at Paul Rooney Ecom on X posted, client is adamant about using Broadmatch. Google rep convinced them that Broadmatch is best for the account. Despite showing them that Exact and Phrase are working better, they want to continue with Broadmatch. Home warranting client with high CPAs. And he has a screenshot of the account, and it's clear that Phrase Match, you have a CPA of 121, Exact Match, CPA of 218 with 5 conversions. Broad match, 0 conversions, cost $1,040. We're seeing it here with our own eyes. On Sterling Sky, Joy Hawkins investigated how accurate query data in Google business profiles are. And this question stemmed from Kyle Harris at the DAC group, who was also seeing that his storage client had queries for people searching for restaurants. And Joy had a theory that it was caused because of Performance Max campaigns being triggered, because a map pin beside the business related to the search triggered it. So TLDR on her findings, branded map pins can trigger an impression if your map pin shows up besides a business related to the search, even if that business is totally unrelated to what you're advertising for.
It seems like a problem.
Yeah. Google Ads data does show up in Google Business Performance Insights, unlike other products like Search Console, where Google strictly eliminates paid search data. And if you're seeing drops in searches or views, don't be so quick to blame SEO. It could very well be ads. PPC Greg at PPC Greg on X noticed that customer IDs in Google's emails are now being shown when they email you and notify you.
We literally talked about this last week.
Yeah, and how that you didn't know what client or account they were talking about when they were sending out these emails.
So they are listening? They really did call you earlier?
Yeah,
for me?
That was that.
Yes, good news for all advertisers. When Google Ads sends out a helpful or most likely not helpful email, you'll know what account they're talking about.
The only umbrage I'm going to take here is that PPC Greg said, I'm going to chalk this one up to hashtag PPC chat respectfully grumbling about it not being included in past emails. I mean, we kind of disrespectfully yelled about it.
Yeah.
How about a little bit of that, PPC Greg?
Loud grumbling.
Yeah. I guess we got to be more respectful.
Mm. Yeah. Greg of the year, my ass.
All right. And in organic news this week, we've got a tweet from Harley F. Harley F on Twitter.
What? On what?
An X from Harley F on X.
A post from Harley post.
On it X. Still says failed to load tweets.
Yeah, and it still says leeway. Twitter.com, but okay. I'm the social lady. I got to do something over
Harley
here.
Finkelstein from Shopify put out a video and said, soon Amazon will release an app in Shopify's app ecosystem that will give merchants who use Amazon's fulfillment network the choice to add Buy with Prime on Shopify's checkout. And it's all processed by Shopify Payments. This was really cool. It seemed very sincere. The only thing that I took lights
with. You're going to say umbrage.
You're going to say umbrage. I'm not going to say it. Is this looks like AI. He looks like living, breathing AI.
I was
going to
say, he doesn't look real. The flow and the volume, I want to buy whatever he's using in his hair.
What?
Right?
His face has a perfect sheen on it. Mm-hmm. Everything. He looks like AI. This is an AI human. This is probably. Who was on that plane mm-hmm. with Tiffany Gomez.
No, I don't know what you're talking about when you say that. I know Nicole does. I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. So anyway, pretty big news if you have Amazon fulfillment and you're running Shopify. From Renee from YouTube, the at YouTube liaison handle on X, Renee says, related links are live. You can now edit any short, old or new, in Studio Desktop. And you can add a link to any video on your same channel. It could be long, short, or live, even public or private. And it's a way that you can sort of daisy chain your videos together. You can also get a one-click remix style button right on the short on mobile. And the whole point is to bridge it to more content, which is amazing, right? Like that's one of the problems that people are seeing with shorts is that a lot of times it's not helping people grow or get more into your channel and the content that you're making. There's also a screenshot that'll be up there on YouTube or Spotify if you're watching with video from Daryl Eves. And it's a related video and you can basically just click on it and get them right to where you wanna go. It's right under your visibility button. The one issue is you can't do this when you post the video. You have to post the video and you have to go back to edit it to get it in.
So annoying.
But it seems like that's coming down the road.
Workflow problem. Hey,
any way that we can help get more, again, audience out of your shorts, the better. And we put out shorts now. I don't like shorts. I don't use shorts, but.
Do you wear shorts?
Big pants guy.
I do. Yeah. I do wear shorts. Yeah. Yeah. Only cargos.
We're thinking the same.
But they do work well. YouTube wants it to work. So it will work. They make things work that they want it to work. And we generally probably, I don't know, tables, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but probably once a week, or probably once every other week, we'll get one of our shorts hitting, you know, an extra 4,000 views just because they're shorts.
They crush.
Take that, try to get it to your original long form content or to your next short, whatever you want. And we said farewell to Google Stadia earlier in the year. Google is now testing a new way to game called Playables. So Playables, I think it actually might work.
It's a dumb name, though.
It is dumb, and I think it's also really oversaturating the YouTube name because Playables is going to be on YouTube only. So you can play games directly on YouTube, on desktop, and mobile devices. If you're part of the experiment, you'll see a section on YouTube called Playables, and basically it's going to be for a limited number of users to start, and you can go through, you'll be able to see your history and play games on YouTube. So in case you're not following along, there's YouTube Music, there's YouTube Shorts, there's standard YouTube, there's YouTube TV, there's YouTube Premium, there's YouTube Playables, probably more.
Could you just put a water slide in at the library? Like I'm here to watch things.
Well, you're going to be here to play if you're on YouTube from here on out. All right, and who could have seen this coming from the Financial Times? At recent strategy meetings, YouTube has discussed the risk that long-form videos, which produce more revenue for the company, are dying out as a format, allegedly. This is an alleged meeting that happened at Google. It seems like what people are doing is pivoting more towards short videos, not investing as much in long videos, and many creators are that people found via YouTube for their original long form content are moving towards what is easier, quicker, and much more rewarded by the algorithm, leaving less long form content and allegedly has the potential to kill some of that YouTube business.
This is a change in user behavior or a change in just what's being served to people? Because how do you say it? Foie gras? Like, we're just a bunch of ducks and YouTube is force feeding the shorts.
Yeah. And if you can make a video for a minute that does the same exact, or if not more than your long form 30 minute professional video.
Who's going to try
anymore?
Many
people love and watch on their TVs and watch at home, but YouTube is not promoting that. They don't care about that at this moment. They care about the shorts. Additionally, one other thing you should know is if you're on YouTube, you do have a 55% split of revenue share for your standard YouTube and only a 45% split of revenue share for your shorts. So we covered it that in October, YouTube had its first ever quarterly decline in ad revenue since they started reporting differently between Google and YouTube. And in July, YouTube said that ad sales rose 4.4% to $7.7 billion in the second quarter. This is about 13% of all of Google's ad revenue. And even despite this uptick, according to the Financial Times, YouTube staff have expressed concern over the internal company figures that suggest content creators making fewer long-form videos, all driven by the lack of consumer appetite and commissions from brands that favor short-term content for product placement. But it's also, that's what you're pushing.
Right.
So
feed the ducks.
Lastly, on this article from the Financial Times, it appears that less than 10% of creators are using the YouTube in-app editing tools for shorts. That was a way that YouTube was trying to get that more original feel so that you didn't have that TikTok watermark on there. YouTube Shorts does downgrade videos that are posted with TikTok branding, but only 10% of people are using that, apparently. So that's it in organic. What's happening in social, bud?
All right. First up in social this week from @CommunityNotes on X, they posted, notes on images automatically show on posts that contain a matching image. A superpower for addressing AI-generated images, edited photos, and more. It's common for these notes to match on dozens, hundreds, and sometimes thousands of posts. Now you can see how many posts an image note is matching on right in the details. And they shared a screenshot of that. So it's basically just saying if there's a note on something and the image is reused, then that note is being shared across all of those posts. And you can see that. So see if an image is being reused.
Which is amazing because people put the stuff out and they pretend it's their own. But if you could be like, hey, I saw a bear in my backyard. And you're like, oh, this bear has been seen 10,000 times. You know, like,
and that's my grandma's swing. That's not your yard. Yeah, exactly. So it's accounting for that. And that's.
I love it. I love Community Notes. I love that Elon lets everybody Community Notes him when he says something stupid. Like, I think Community Notes are really helpful.
Well, they're even more helpful now for video too, because Community Notes also posted that it's not just for images anymore. They are introducing notes on videos. Notes written on videos will automatically show on other posts containing matching videos. Again, kind of the same message, but for images and videos, which again, if that bear is dancing and you took a video, then please do not reuse that. That's my original bear. All right, keeping it X here, they've made some updates to their privacy policy, which are going into effect on September 29th, that indicate the platform will begin collecting users' biometric data as well as job and education history.
What could go wrong?
So much.
Biometric data, and then you're out there using Neuralink to connect right into my brain. Like, no thanks.
Yeah, well, maybe they're going to see if it was an original thought, like I should shoot the bear. Shoot with a camera, not a gun. Blaster. Okay, so this is all, by the way, with user consent, but they being X, provided minimal detail to Bloomberg, who first spotted this. X commented saying that the biometrics are for premium users, so that's something to note. We'll give them the option to submit their government ID as well as an image to add a verification layer, and that it may be extracted from the ID and the image for matching purposes. They said it's basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but to help them tie for users that choose it, the account to a real person and fight impersonation. So whatever.
How? Like, what, you see my heart rate and you're like, oh, that's it.
I just feel like anyone that stole a wallet could upload an ID. So I don't understand. But maybe they'll like use your face. I don't know.
Like, oh, yeah. This is your average sleep time. That's Greg.
I don't know. I just, it doesn't make any sense. And they're very, very, what's the word? They're nondescript about it. They didn't want to say a lot.
Do you have to give them a stool sample too?
On the employment and education side of things, the privacy policy also notes they may collect and use personal info such as employment history, employment preferences, skills, abilities, job search activity, things like that, with the purpose, obviously, to recommend potential jobs for you or to share with potential employers when you apply for a job. They want to show you more relevant advertising. They're saying all sorts of things. Again, they didn't really want to comment on it. They just updated their privacy policy.
I hope they don't give their biometrics to whoever you applied to.
Did you collect a stool sample from me when I started this job? I don't remember.
Yeah, we had an extraction. We weren't really knighting you.
Back in a big way, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Speaking of jobs... not mine, obviously. X is working on functionality, making it easy to share job listings that are on the platform across DMs, posts in the feed, and communities as well. So they're kind of pushing the job thing, very LinkedIn-esque of them. Per X Daily, they are also working on adding an option to share your email when you subscribe to, it says an creator. They definitely meant a creator. It could be for newsletter functionality as well as letting creators easily take an email list with them to other platforms, which, Greg, I feel like you'd be a big fan of that. Last update from the expert, there has been some drama around whether or not to ban the Anti-Defamation League from the platform. We're not really going to talk about that, but Elon did post in regards to that, and I quote, "Our U.S. advertising revenue is still down 60%. Primarily due to pressure on advertisers by @ADL. That's what advertisers tell us. So they almost succeeded in killing X / Twitter." The guy is still referring to the platform as Twitter. He then followed up later with a reply to X Daily on the subject. X Daily noted, amongst other things, that revenue from non-US advertisers, API fees, and verification subscriptions are looking more positive recently. And Elon said, exactly, we no longer need to restore U.S. advertising to prior levels for survival. And then he said, that said, it would be nice to see it return. So hence political ads. We'll see what that can do for revenue. But I guess you don't need our money, Mr. Musk. Good for you. I need our money. All right. Let's move on to other platforms. From TechCrunch, Meta is now showing a carousel of suggested threads on Instagram to bump up engagement.
It's too late.
It's too late. And people know it, I think. There's some comments. Someone said, see how Instagram has integrated threads, preview in Instagram itself. So much for getting people active on threads. Shared a screenshot of that. Matt Navarra said, threads usage dropped to new lows. Zuck just got Adam to turn on the Instagram to threads growth tap again. It just, they're really trying to force it. They tried. It kind of worked for a second. Got a lot of people to sign up, but nobody's using it. They're trying again. Speaking of trying... Mark Zuckerberg used Vin Diesel, which I ship, a Vin Diesel GIF to get people excited about search functionality that's coming to Threads. So if you use Threads and you're fast and you're furious, you can now search, or will be able to because it's coming.
This is so, so late.
Who give, like at this point, if you don't launch with a search feature, what do you, you were not ready to launch.
It's been what, 2 months now?
Has it been that long?
It's got to be 2 months.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
And you haven't come up. You're supposed to be making something that is the community, like conversation, like the water cooler. Mm. And you can't look for a topic. It's too late, my man. Too late.
Never too late for Vin Diesel, but definitely too late for Threads. Meta also announced this week that in early December, they will depreciate Facebook News. The dedicated tab for news content in the UK, France, and Germany. They said they're not ending people's ability to view news on Facebook in these countries, so it's just that dedicated tab. Publishers will continue to have access to their accounts and pages, and they're going to honor obligations under existing news agreements with publishers in those areas until they expire.
Has there been, like, a bag fumbled worse than this ever?
A bag fumbled? Well, is that a sports thing?
I think so. Just, do you know what I mean?
Was yeah. a bag.
Yeah. I know that, and yeah. I don't watch sports.
Are you talking about cornhole?
No, I'm talking about like you
fumble
lost
a
your
ball.
Money. Like these publishers are like, hey, yeah. you can't, I don't want you to share my news. You're going to get far less traffic from this. Why would you want that? And in Canada, you can't do it.
I know. Meta stated that it's part of an ongoing effort to align their investments and products with the services people value the most.
Get out of here.
But I just feel like people, I mean, it's called a news feed. I know it's a dedicated tab, but like I feel like that's what people are using Facebook for, is to learn things about the world, whether they're correct or not.
You know what's going
to
happen? We're going to fast forward and this stuff's going to come back. All these news outlets are going to be clamoring for it. Canada's going to have it back. They're going to be like, oh, this was a really dumb idea that we had. They're just, instead of paying us for it, they just took it away. You couldn't have had a worse result than what we saw in Canada.
Again, you launch threads without search. Nobody's thinking.
All right, pick up the bag, bud. What's next?
I don't know what that means, but from Axios, TikTok has posted a slew of new jobs in the past week for roles that include building more social networking and private messaging features. So basically making the social network that everyone is trying to copy into more of a true social network. They're trying to boost engagement opportunities outside of video on the TikTok platform. So move over MySpace. Maybe we'll have a top 8 on your TikTok. Last up, according to Bloomberg, legislation aiming to hold social media platforms liable for addiction and other harms to child users was killed by a key committee on Friday for the second year in a row. The main point of this was to basically give the Attorney General of California and public attorneys the ability to take legal action against social media companies proven to have intentionally incorporated addictive or harmful design features in the algorithms. But it's been squashed for now. So social media addicts, rejoice. Can sleep soundly tonight.
And that brings us to our real life segment. Straight out of our accounts and into your ear holes. It's time for Working Hard or Hardly Working, where we talk about what's going on in our IRL work, good, bad, or otherwise.
This week's Working Hard or Hardly Working, for me, working hard, using office space. I have made it a goal of mine to take more meetings and just do more like head-in focused work in different places in the office. And last week, I think every single day I got up from my desk and chose a different space to sit in, and it really made a difference. It's a good change of pace, and trying to encourage others in the office to do so as well.
Hashtag use the furniture.
All right, and something working hard for me, I mentioned already on the show, Performance Max with a feed. We've got a few clients that have a ton of URLs, and trying to exclude things, it just hadn't really worked out the way we wanted to. We had one where we had, it must have been 1,000 URLs, trying just to curtail some of the spends. We put in exclusion of all products. It was just a mess. But we had another client where we've got final URL expansion on with sort of like general ad types. And then on top of that, we found very specific vertical-based items in a directory, pulled those out, and really matched the creative up well in Performance Max, and it's working. We are seeing no degradation between our general Performance Max that's running. We're just seeing an improved number of conversions coming on top of that, where we're targeting the feed and making sure the page feed and matching up the creative to all these different pages. So I love it. Like I said, was a hater for Performance Max when it rolled out. The changes they're doing make me, maybe not a hater, but an aider.
For me, working hard is Google Calendar, which I apparently just learned how to use. So I had a client last week ask me to look for a meeting that Nicole and I had almost a year ago. He didn't remember what it was called. We knew the context of it. I had no idea. I searched for like 6 different things that I thought he would have called it. We were basically looking at the attendee list. We were trying to find who the people were in that meeting. And it was like an impossible thing until I realized how good the search is on Google Calendar. You don't even need a search query. You can literally just filter a list of events during a certain time frame based on whose calendar it was, keywords if you want them, who sent you the invite, a location, or if it doesn't have something. I just had no idea it had such a powerful search function. So it's maybe a niche situation for me, but I feel like if you ever need to search your calendar, there are ways to do it that you probably didn't know about. So working hard, Google Calendar. Thank you.
And now for this week's
Cool Tool.
As a reminder, our Cool Tool segment is not an official endorsement or paid mention. We're simply sharing something we found in our travels that may be of use to our listeners and is really, really cool.
This week's Cool Tool lets you stop, crop, and roll easily. It is PMaxify from Max Minus and Mersudan Forbes. It's a simple tool for resizing images to perfectly fit banners and logos for PMax campaigns. You just upload your images, or if you're super lazy, you could just drag them into the thing and you're on your way. It's stupid easy. It'll save you a lot of time when you're building out your PMax campaigns. So bookmark it, people. It's PMaxify. And as always, we will have a link in our newsletter at marketingoclock.com/newsletter, as well as on Discord, community.marketingoclock.com. So pick your poison and check it out.
Now it's time for our must-read marketing article of the week. An article so advanced, so in-depth, so detailed that we simply cannot cover it in its entirety on today's show.
This week's must-read marketing article of the week comes from the one and only PPC Kirk at PPC Kirk on X. PPC Kirk from Zato Marketing has an article called How to Structure Google Performance Max Campaigns, 7 Ideas. And the thing that I like about PPC Kirk the most is he's never telling you this is the way you got to do something. PPC Kirk says, here are some different options. Here are some different thoughts. And has like really funny, like funny bad, but like on purpose bad, you know, like graphics where there's somebody in like a poncho and then somebody on a beach that looks like a like an old Frenchman on a beach, like with a little dandy cap on his head. But anyway, PPC gives you some different ways to think about PPC, about Performance Max, not PPC Max. Talks about how you can use Performance Max and standard shopping. How you can segment it by product type, how you can segment it by brand keywords, segment it by historical performance, how you can use feed-only PMAX campaigns, how to use it for new customer acquisition, and then how to segment by custom labels. So like doing different margin bands, promotions, and et cetera. But these are all the things you really need to think through when you're setting up your Performance Max campaigns, and PPC Kirk gives you a lot of food for thought. Thank you, PPC Kirk. And if you want this and all of our links today, marketingclock.com/newsletter or head on over to community.marketingaclock.com. And if you go to the community, it's only going to be in Discord here. I'm going to hop back in here. My summer schedule is done. And Tables and I are going to set up a little pick'em league with some of the listeners. We'll probably have we've got some really cool stuff cooking, and we'll have a bunch of giveaways and things like that. But we're going to do a pick'em league with a spread, and you can compete against Tables, me. If you guys want to jump in, you can jump in too.
Can I fumble the bag or whatever?
Yeah, you can fumble the bag.
Perfect.
So, but we're going to pick a few games. We might set it like 3-4 games. Everybody picks against the spread.
This is baseball?
This is football. Mm. Yes. Where you don't use your feet in that game.
Football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So head on over to community.marketingclock if you want to sign up and compete against us.
And now onto our playlist of curated songs to work to, which you can find over at playlist.marketingclock.com. I will be adding You've Got a Woman by Natalie Birdman and Beck. Jess, what are you adding?
Blood/Water by Grandson.
Okay. And I'm going to go with Sideways by Noah Kagan /Noah Kahan/Noah Kahn.
Get your lighters, people.
All right. That does it for today's show.
It is now officially not Marketing O'Clock.
Thank you for listening.
Miss you already.
We can't wait to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing O'Clock. If you're looking for more information on today's topic, head over to marketingaclock.com/newsletter to receive every single article we cover. We share the news as it breaks in our Discord community. Head over to community.marketingaclock.com to join.
Welcome to this week's Shootin' the Heck, where after our famous Friday news shows, we don't talk about marketing anymore. We just
shoot the heck.
And this week, we're playing everyone's favorite game. Little things that we like. It doesn't have to be a big thing in life, but just something when you see it, it brings you joy. It's the Marie Kondo of your visuals in life.
Sparks joy.
Sparks joy.
Yeah, love it.
Okay, who wants to start? Jess, you're up first.
I was hiking recently and just saw this, not for the first time, but for the first time in a while, and it really is an amazing thing. Are you ever just in the woods? And there's trees all around you, but there's a walking path. But somehow, all of the tree roots from everywhere have just taken over the path. And you're just like walking over tree roots. And it's just like a...
It's like a temple like run a in real mess. Life.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I love that so much. I just love it. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know where they're going. And it's beautiful. Love it.
All right. One for me is watching a sausage or a hot dog pop. Like burst.
Like on the grill?
Big, yeah. Or, yeah, broiling it,
and
grilling
it.
And the casing just looks like it's, you see it fizzle a little bit and then it just splits open. It's like a sneeze, somebody waiting to sneeze. It finally happened. I love watching hot dogs pop.
Very satisfying.
All right. My first one is when your AirPods connect to the right device. And automatically when you put them in your ear, like you don't have to fiddle around and sync it again or disconnect and reconnect. It just
It is a rare thing.
It is.
In my experience, it's really nice when it happens. Purple flowers in general are beautiful, but if it's a cloudy day or it's at dusk, like that gray sky really makes them pop. Mm-hmm. And it could be the most subtle purple you've ever seen. And all of a sudden, it's like the only thing you can see. And it just, like, I can't, it just, it could bring a tear to my eye. It's so beautiful. Something I look for all the time.
Okay. One thing that I like in general is just when animals get along together. Like, I always wonder what that dynamic is when you look out the window. It's like squirrels like birds. Birds can be around groundhogs. Foxes and groundhogs can't be around each other. And then anytime a human comes out, everything just like runs. But these animals have this unwritten code where they know who they can be around. It's like, how do you Who's know cool? this?
Yeah.
And like some animals get along. You'd be like, these ones wouldn't get along together, but they do. And it's like a squirrel can't be around like a groundhog, but can be around a bird. And it's like, how do you know that? And then you're a squirrel, like there are birds that eat you.
I know.
It's so weird.
That's why a lot of them get caught.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I like animals that are buddies.
Yeah. All right. My next one is when you're defrosting your car window and a big chunk of snow falls off.
Oh, yes.
And you don't have to get out of your car to scrape the window off before driving.
That is nice.
I love that. Or if you didn't brush the top of your car off good enough and a big chunk flies off. I love that.
I love that little whoop, like tube sound at the bank at the drive-thru.
You pass it up in the... And you still have one of those? Up
at the bank?
Yeah.
Absolutely. In the drive-thru lane?
I think they got rid of all of those at mine.
Not mine. No.
It's Do you really get a lollipop?
Nice. No. I would love it even more. But it's like the sound when it just like gets sucks in. Not the vacuum sound, but the whoop. Like yeah, it's real good.
That's great. All right, one thing I was talking about off air last week, I love old worn tools. I hate using new tools. I hate shiny new tools. I wish everything, especially like hand tools, there's like stories behind each one of those tools. And I hate like a shiny new hammer. No, I want an old hammer that's seen some stuff.
Yeah, passed down generations in the family. Somebody's name is etched in it. The paint's gone.
Hefty. Love, love worn tools.
Yeah. I love when you're online shopping and you're at checkout, you press that autofill button and it does it perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to edit the address. It got the card right. It got your name right. Put everything in the right field.
All right, last one. I love in general, like nutrition labels. I just love to read them. I like to see the list of ingredients. I don't care about the information. I just find joy in reading them. I was eating this weekend and reading the mustard and it tells you how many servings are in the container, but it said about 159 servings per container. So I just loved the about and then the very specific number.
Why don't you go 160?
I don't know. I just love it. They were like, this is what I think it is, roughly, and I'm giving it to you. And I just thought that was great. Loved it.
All right, my last, this is a rarity, but I saw one this summer when I was picking my kids up in a park near me, like pulled off to the side. It made me so happy. It might be one of my top number one little things in life that you see. Somebody that their daily driver, the car they use to drive on a daily basis, is a hearse.
I don't know if I've ever seen
I've
that.
I've seen it.
I wish
probably
that was
like
me.
Three or four of them in my life. But one was parked off to the side. I saw it twice. Each time I saw it, almost tears of joy.
There's no funeral happening. It's just somebody driving around.
No, they got a good deal on a hearse.
I wonder if they rented it from Hearst.
Oh.
My last one is when you're in the bathroom and you see the toilet paper's running low and it's the perfect amount. You use it right up and you can get a new roll.
Yes. Because people out there are just leaving a sheet like it's helpful and it's not.
Like one little square left.
Mm-hmm. TPO. Toilet paper optimization.
Yeah.
All right. And we will see you next week.